There is no shame in the hypocritical Democratic Party. Republicans issued a memo detailing the problems with collusion of the FBI, the Justice Department, the DNC, the Clinton campaign, and possibly Barack Obama himself. And not a single Democrat on the Intel Committee voted to release that information so you could form your own opinion. Once it was released, the Democrats followed Shifty Adam Schiff's lead and produced a memo more than three times as long as the Republican memo, and they loaded it up with sensitive information affecting national security. They knew that those security issues would have to be withdrawn or redacted, but they plunged ahead so that they and the fake news media could make it appear that President Trump wants to hide their memo. In the interest of national security, the president sent the memo back to Shifty Schiff and told him to address those security issues and reissue it. He's ready to release the Democratic propaganda, but without the sensitive security issues. And that sends Shifty Schiff back to the friendly fake news cameras to complain. Caught in the act, the Democrats are now removing the sensitive parts of their memo. Why do they do that, if those sensitive issues are not a security problem? Now, Iran is playing with fire, and they may provoke war in the Middle East. An Iranian drone flew into Israeli territory and was shot down. Then, an Israeli jet was shot down in Syria, leading to an Israeli retaliation, which was severe. Israel is a tiny nation about the size of Vermont. And it's surrounded completely by bigger companies that proclaim daily their intention to destroy Israel and all of the Jewish people. That's why Israel cannot play a game of tit for tat with its enemies. Given provocation, Israel must strike the enemy tenfold harder, and they do. The sooner the Arabs in the region learn to love their children more than they hate Israel, the sooner peace might come to a very troubled region. A week ago, Indianapolis Colts player Edwin Jackson and his Uber driver, Jeffrey Monroe, were killed in a wreck in Indiana. The driver who killed them was Manuel Orego Zavallo, an illegal immigrant from Guatemala who had been caught and deported twice. He did not have a license to drive, and his blood alcohol was three times the legal limit. In other words, he was sloppy drunk. The fake news media either ignored the story or warned against politicizing the death. The immigration activists wail that this killer says nothing about illegal immigration, but it does. The Uber driver was 54 years old. He was married, had worked for the same company for 20 years. He was driving for Uber to earn money to take his wife to the 2020 Olympics. Eddie Jackson was just 26 years old and an aspiring NFL star. The illegal immigrant who killed these two men had been convicted of drunk driving in California in 2005. He was deported to Guatemala in 2007 and again in 2009 and ordered not to return to the United States for 20 years. He again broke that law last year using an alias. He was convicted of driving without a license. The local authorities did not notify federal immigration officials. Remember, it's more of that sanctuary nonsense. So the illegal immigrant killer's attorney says his client is distraught and confused. His record indicates that he is not confused at all, but a cunning disobeyer of our laws. Illegal immigrants who break into this country are far more likely to engage in criminal activity here, joining gangs or drunk driving. It is common sense that someone willing to break the law to get here is more likely to commit the breaking of laws while here. Donald Trump was elected to build a wall on our border with Mexico, where these illegal immigrants and drug dealers are streaming across. He's been blocked by a Democratic Party that favors illegal immigrants over the security of American citizens. Now, that wall will not prevent all crimes by illegal immigrants, but if that wall had been in place, it is likely that this illegal immigrant killer would not have been able to come back into this country so frequently. Thousands of other innocent Americans are dead. Thousands of families are grief-stricken because we have porous borders and too many politicians and pundits like it that way. My own family was touched by this insane desire of Democrats to give sanctuary to these illegal immigrants and to refuse to stop their disregard for American security. A neighbor of ours was badly injured by a drunk illegal immigrant who had no driver's license and no insurance. He had been deported, but flowed easily back across our border. Our neighbor survived, but suffered great pain and will always have pain for the rest of her life. Now, the web of subterfuge and corruption at the highest levels of our government are slowly coming to the surface. Democrats successfully focused America's attention on a made-up Trump-Russia collusion to hide the fact that the collusion with Russia actually involves Hillary Clinton, James Comey, Loretta Lynch, the Democratic National Committee, high-level elites at the FBI and Justice Department, Valerie Jarrett, and even Barack Obama himself. We are now finding evidence to show that the deep state political elites were not about to leave the election of president in 2016 to the American voter. As Democrat and FBI employee Peter Schrotz said in a memo, we have to find some kind of insurance that Trump will be defeated. We also now have a memo from Schrotz's mistress, Lisa Page, herself employed at the FBI, that says that Barack Obama, then president, wanted to know everything that Schrotz, Page, Andrew McCabe, and others were doing. Given the tens of thousands of emails between Schrotz and Page, it's obvious that they were devoting their time to a plan to sweep Hillary Clinton into the White House and deny the votes of the American people for Donald Trump. We also now know that Hillary Clinton cussed out Donna Brazile, the head of the DNC, and she told Brazile that if they were not able to cover all of this up, they would all hang if Trump became president. Now, you don't hang for doing nothing unlawful. Hillary made it clear that the DNC had to pull out all stops to deny Trump and install her. All of this coming out daily as the emails and text messages are released, giving all of the nasty politics going on in Democratic circles, we can easily surmise that the 33,000 emails that Hillary Clinton had destroyed after Congress warned her not to destroy them would contain enough damaging evidence that Hillary had to risk contempt of Congress charges rather than let that evidence be revealed. Hillary also had some handheld devices destroyed with hammers. Now, you'd think that any patriotic American, regardless of political party, would want to know the truth about the worst political scandal in American history. But no. Key Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and shifty Adam Schiff keep throwing up roadblocks to prevent the truth from being exposed. In this latest scam, the Democrats put together that memo to answer the Republican memo about lawlessness of the elites at the FBI and Justice Department. The table had been set in this election. Barack Obama would leave the White House. Hillary Clinton would take over. We would never have known any of the collusion to keep Trump out of the White House, nor the desperate need to keep Hillary Clinton from being indicted, an indictment that would have taken her out of the presidential race. That required the collusion of people at the top ranks of the FBI and the Justice Department to join forces with the DNC. Hillary Clinton's campaign, and even cover from the Obama administration. As with any desperate attempt to circumvent the election of Trump, mistakes were made. Evidence was destroyed. The trail of emails and texts between Peter Schrotz and Lisa Page was discovered now and is leading to more damning evidence. It's only a matter of time before indictments come down on these people, because without Hillary in the Oval Office to ensure the cover-up, it is all being slowly discovered. Democrats hounded Richard Nixon out of the presidency because he tried to cover up a senseless break-in of the DNC office at Watergate. Today, they are desperately trying to hide their own cover-up activities in the 2016 election. Democrat Adam Schiff attacked Trump Jr. for talking with a Russian lawyer who he had been told had her dirt on Hillary Clinton. And yet, now we know that Schiff himself fell over backwards to talk with a couple of Russians who told him they had dirt on Donald Trump. It is this kind of hypocrisy that is hard for rational people to understand. I'm no fan of special prosecutors or inspectors because of their history of veering out of what they were commissioned to investigate and to look for any side issue to pin on the subject involved. After a year of investigation by Special Investigator Robert Mueller, we now have no evidence of any Trump-Russia collusion. Now we find Mueller, no fan of Trump's, veering far away from what he was assigned to investigate. Mueller is best buddies with fired FBI Director James Comey, and he loaded up his staff with Democrats who hate Trump. Having said that, I believe that it is time to appoint a special investigator to look into the collusion between officials at the FBI, Justice Department, DNC, Clinton campaign, and if evidence is found of Obama's involvement, they must all face judgment. If Democrats can use the forces of government to destroy Republicans, then Republicans could use those same government sources to destroy Democrats. That's why members of either party should back efforts to root out this threat to the survival of our country. Frankly, I'm disappointed in both political parties. There are liars and scam artists on both sides of the aisle. But the Democrats are far and away more devious than Republicans. Frankly, we should all be appalled that the Republicans are so inept at nailing Democratic hypocrisy and underhanded lies. People like Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff, Sheila Jackson Lee, and a host of others appear to have no conscience. Attaining and keeping power is their mission, not the best interests of the country. People who have been members of the Democratic Party need to take off the rose-colored glasses and realize that this is not the party you signed on to, unless, of course, you approve of the lies and deceptions from politicians that I've named. You don't have to become a Republican. You can register as an independent voter just as I did. To continue an affiliation with a Democratic Party that tolerates breaking the law, as Clinton did, erasing email evidence, raking in hundreds of millions of dollars from foreign donors to the Clinton Foundation while Hillary was Secretary of State, and a myriad of other felonies she is guilty of, makes you an enabler. Did Hillary run a pay-for-play operation while Secretary of State? Consider this. As long as Hillary Clinton held power in our government, she was able to attract hundreds of millions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation that she and her husband controlled. When Hillary lost her government power, those so-called donations immediately dried up. Some foreign leaders had even asked for their money back. Today, the Clinton Foundation is virtually a wasteland. So what did the Clinton Foundation use those hundreds of millions of so-called charitable dollars for? Consider the multi-millions the foundation raised for patient relief. Less than 6%, 6% of that money ever went to the aid of Haitians. The rest went for personal expenses for the Clintons. Over $1 million in travel alone, and the rest went to salaries and expenses of Clinton flunkies, including Chelsea Clinton. A hefty amount for her. Meanwhile, in a devastated Haiti, the poor people are still waiting on the relief that was to come to them, but which got diverted by the Clintons. Hillary Clinton is the politician that received the unprecedented graft and corruption of the Democratic Party. She was the choice of a political party that has been hijacked by far-left extremists. She is the face of the party, or was, that valued illegal immigrants over American citizens. Those surrounding her are as unethical as she is. And that's saying a lot, since Hillary Clinton has been tabbed as unethical since her college days. To those Democrats trying to, again, divert our attention by claiming that Hillary is no longer in office and that somehow all of her dishonesty and lies should be swept under the rug and forgotten, they must be reminded that what we are going through today is not about whether or not Hillary has a future in politics, but the damage she did to our political system while she was in politics. That deserves our attention, and steps must be taken to ensure that governmental powers like the FBI, Justice Department, and Internal Revenue Services can never again be used against a political party at the expense of the other. To do less, as the Democrats are determined to do, is to destroy the Constitution and our way of life. Bill O'Reilly may be off of Fox News, but he's still spreading his message. Listen to this statement and tell me who you think said it. All Americans are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. Our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before. Donald Trump? No. As many of you know, that was President Bill Clinton in 1995. If you dismiss that as ancient history, how about this tough talk from Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer just 8 years ago? He said this: illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious. Then there was Hillary Clinton in 2014 arguing this: just because your child gets across the border, that doesn't mean the child gets to stay. And in 1994, Dianne Feinstein called illegal immigrants leeches. Hear the hypocrisy? O'Reilly went on to say, what an astounding and rapid change there has been in the Democratic Party, which now embraces and implicitly encourages lawbreakers. As one example, recently Senator Dick Durbin declared that he is focused full-time on making sure DACA beneficiaries are protected. Full-time? One wonders what his Illinois constituents think about that. Shouldn't he devote at least a few minutes to the state's massive debt or the rampant murders in its largest city? The newest pro-lawbreaker Democrat is Phil Murphy. He was sworn in as governor of New Jersey and promised to be welcoming to illegal immigrants, and has even vowed to establish an Office of Immigrant Defensive Protection. Murphy wants to ensure that illegal immigrants get free legal representation, in-state college tuition, and that they are protected from those dastardly feds who are trying to enforce the law. New Jersey taxpayers, through their though their state is in financial peril, will pick up the tab for this nonsense. Why are so many progressive Democrats suddenly eager to put illegal immigrants ahead of American citizens? Some suggest that this is about locking up future votes by making sure more people are dependent on big government. That could be a part of it, to be sure, but there seems to be something else at work. Part of being a progressive these days is making sure that everybody else knows you are a very good and extremely virtuous person. And one sure sign of virtue is defending people who entered this country illegally. You can see this at work with our language police. One way of displaying your virtue is always using the proper terms, those that have been given the seal of approval by our leftist elites, saying people of color is an instant signal to others that you are awake and properly progressive. But if you ever mix up the words just slightly and say colored people, you will be forever banished to the cultural versions of Siberia. Then there is undocumented. As the other quotes indicate, not long ago, Democrats and liberals spoke freely about illegal immigrants. It is accurate and pithy. But how times have changed. The word illegal is almost up there with the N-word when it comes to hateful slurs. Immigration activists will tell you that illegal is out of bounds. And don't get them started on aliens, which is totally beyond the pale. The Associated Press has actually issued a total ban on the term illegal immigrant, while the New York Times says that's a code word for racial and ethnic hatred. So the country is divided. On one side, people who use politically correct terms to describe illegal immigrants. They argue, based on dubious statistics, that illegal immigrants commit fewer crimes than native-born Americans, and that sanctuary cities are safer because illegal immigrants are more willing to come forward to report crimes. They should consider perusing a new study by economist John Lott, whose research reveals that fully 8% of Arizona's inmates are so-called dreamers. That's four times their representation in the state's population. Meanwhile, a new Homeland Security report shows that 73% of all individuals arrested for international-related terrorism since 9/11 were born in another country. Their despicable dream is to kill innocent people and destroy America. Right now, the open borders crowd is engaged because President Trump and the Attorney General Jeff Sessions are not afraid to describe illegal immigrants as illegal immigrants. They decry sanctuary cities, and they want effective law enforcement. But the left, which dominates the news media and most universities, will continue to police our language and our thoughts, searching for any violation. One side endorses the rule of law. The other excuses lawlessness and gives sanctuary to lawbreakers. The battle lines, then, are drawn. The differences could not be more stark, and the nation's cold civil war seems to grow more heated every day. More than half of all gang members in the United States are illegals. More than 39% of California students in grades 1 to 12 are illegal immigrants. More than 66% of all births in California are to illegals on Medi-Cal, paid for by U.S. taxpayers. 75% of L.A.'s most wanted are illegals. More than 43% of all food stamps are given to illegals. Less than 2% of illegals are picking our crops. 31% are on some type of welfare. Almost nightly, our news reveals illegal aliens involved in accidents driving while drunk, many without driver's licenses or insurance. The issue of DACA, people brought here by their parents illegally, is just the tip of the iceberg. If the approximately 800,000 of them are given a pathway to citizenship ahead of those immigrants who have waited in line for years, it's a tragedy. Those 800,000 then can use chain migration to bring in all of their relatives, unless President Trump and the Republicans hold firm and end chain migration against Democratic wishes. At the very least, we have to insist that Democrats agree to fund the wall on our southern border, that they agree to end the lottery immigration that Chuck Schumer helped start, and end chain migration. If Democrats would agree to those three issues, we can tolerate the President and Congress negotiating a path for these people of DACA to stay here. In the long run, though, these illegal immigrants will band with the block vote of black Americans who are dependent on Democrats for entitlement programs to swing power back to a far-left Democratic Party. It's a price we have to pay now for the foolish immigration policies of the past. Now, England does not like the United States recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Imagine that. This might give you a better understanding of the insidiousness of Hijra. That's the takeover of a nation without going to war. Don't think for a moment that America is not a target, or that there are no American cities where Islamic and Sharia victories and takeovers have already occurred. It is time for border control, or start planning for a very, very big goodbye to the American way of life. Here's what's already happened in England just within a few years of opening their border without any entry control. How the British have passively succumbed to the Muslim invasion. The mayor of London is Muslim. Other Muslims in control of British cities include the following: the mayor of Birmingham, the mayor of Leeds, the mayor of Blackburn, the mayor of Sheffield, and the mayors of Oxford, Luton, Oldham, and the mayor of Rochdale. All of the following has been achieved by just 4 million Muslims out of 66 million populations. They now have over 3,000 mosques, over 130 Muslim Sharia courts. There are now areas in the United Kingdom that are no-go zones unless you're a Muslim. 78% of Muslim women don't work and they're on free benefits and housing. 63% of Muslim men in the UK don't work and are given free benefits and housing. Muslims' families are large, 6 to 8 children, most planning to go on free benefits and housing. And now all UK schools serve halal meat to please Muslims. Try having the schools serve bacon or any pork product, and the chaos from Muslims will take over. That gives you an idea of what happens when believers of Islam march forward. Progressives tell us not to worry here in America. They point out that not all Muslims are terrorists, and that's true. But almost all terrorists are Muslims. The Islamic invasion starts with a trickle and builds to a flood. Muslims declared some 30 years ago that they would claim England for Islam. Naive people laughed, just like people laughed at Hitler in 1932. In Washington, D.C., there's a group known as Ashab Aqwin, and its leader is Imam Abdul Musa. His plans and goals are those of most Muslims living both here and in Europe. Among the many plans of action they have, here are a few resolutions from their charter. It says, "We resolve to shape the ideas, the beliefs, and moral viewpoints of the people into an Islamic mold. Toward this end, we will develop comprehensive educational systems that is necessary to inform, inspire, and direct the society toward Islamic evolution. We resolve to utilize all of the tools of Islam to develop and analyze a plan of action to totally and completely obliterate the hold of Jahiliya and enable Islam to take complete control of our lives, and ultimately the lives of all human beings on earth." Now, that's not some opinion shared by a lone radical, but the mainstream view of Muslims around the world. The word Muslim means submission, and Muslims see that their mission is to make you submit to Islam and Allah. There's an excellent movie called The Third Jihad by a Muslim who's fighting against the radical element of Islam, and it exposes the plan of radical Muslims who desire to take over the world. The movie opens with a disclaimer that tells the viewer that this is not a film about Islam. It is about the threat of radical Islam. Only a small percentage of the world's billions of Muslims are radical. But if only 1% of Muslims worldwide are radical, then that is more than 10 million radical Muslim terrorists running around loose. Remember, In Nazi Germany, not all Germans were actual Nazis. Far from it. Most Germans were just normal people going about their daily lives trying to get by. Only a fairly small percentage were evil Nazis, killing over 11 million Jews and non-Jews alike in gas showers and ovens. That small percentage soon overtook the main population, who refused to speak out against the radical leadership, and thus, in effect, made all of Germany Nazis. The same thing is happening today with Muslims. Are all Muslims in favor of jihad? No, they are not. But the actions and goals of the smaller percentage are dominating all Muslim thought and theology around the world and at home. Common sense tells us that no illegal immigrants should ever receive welfare or Social Security, food stamps, or the like on the backs of the American taxpayers. But today, they do. How ignorant is it for our government to burden American citizens with the costs of illegal immigrants, people who willingly broke our immigration laws and who cost us more than $100 billion a year? It is time for our government to review and replace entitlement programs. Why is anyone entitled to receive what you work for? Compel able-bodied people to work in order to receive government benefits of any kind. Our national debt is threatening to drown us, and the Obama answer was to cut back on our military needs. No. We should do whatever it takes to support our military, and President Trump has just taken those steps. Eliminate the giveaway programs and improve our infrastructure with the billions in savings that we get when we control illegal immigration. Not immigration, illegal immigration. And why the liberals can't understand the difference between immigration and illegal immigration is beyond me. We have friends who came from Vietnam. They run a nail salon. Some of the hardest working people I've ever seen. They are American citizens. They waited in line for more than 10 years. They spent every cent they had to ensure that they could enter the United States legally. You're going to now take somebody who comes here illegally and put them in front of people like that in the line? That doesn't make any sense. And the liberals are going to take us down that road until we say stop and mean it.